We're going to turn tonight in God's Word for our scripture reading to the book of the Psalms and to the Psalm number 51. And to the Psalm number 51, and just beginning our reading at the verse 1 of the Psalm, going down to the end just of the verse number 19. Reading tonight just from God's Word from Psalm 51 and beginning our reading at the verse 1 of the Psalm. Let us hear God's Word. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me truly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Amen. We'll end our reading there, the verse number 19. And we do know that God himself was adding his own blessing to the public reading of his own precious and infallible word. Just with the word of God open before us, let us bow together in a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for the open Bible. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet, that it is truly a light unto our path. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast promised in Thy Word that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast promised that Thy Word is the instrument that thou dost use to make souls wise unto salvation. And Lord, we pray to that end tonight that thou wilt take up thine own word, and that thou, Lord, will hide man behind the cross. And we pray, Lord, that in our preaching tonight thou wilt give grace, Lord, and enablement, Lord, to declare thy word. Be mouth matter and wisdom unto us, O God. And grant, Lord, that in all things the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted and would be glorified, and that, Lord, as Christ is exalted, uplifted, that hearts and souls and lives would be drawn out after him in faith and in salvation. Lord, bless thy word tonight to this end. Lord, be unto us all that we would need and require. Pour out your Spirit upon every heart. Pour out your Spirit upon every soul. And Lord, grant that through thy word tonight, that precious souls would be saved, that there would be rejoicing, Lord, in the courts of heaven over sinners coming to the Lord. Do abide with us to this end. Give help and give enablement to declare thy word. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory. Amen and amen. Now, over these past number of weeks and days, I'm sure we have all noticed a change in the season and in our climate. The summer, whatever we had of it this year, is over. And we are in the midst of the autumn season. And with us being in the midst of the autumn season, we've noticed temperatures dropping. And indeed, it reminds us each and every one about the approach and the coming of the winter season. Now, one of the great beauties of the winter season is the falling of snow. My, when there is a fresh fall of snow blanketing the ground and the countryside, indeed, as we look out over it, we see one of the great wonders, indeed, another great wonder of God's creation and God's creative power. And my, when we think of the snow, we can say that it is remarkable because of its purity as you look upon it as it falls. It is also beautiful because of its whiteness. My, as it would glisten in the winter sunshine over the hills and over the valleys, my, it seems that there is nothing else that can compete or indeed can be compared to the brilliance of the whiteness and the purity of the snow in the countryside. But however white snow may seem and snow may be, we must say tonight upon the authority of the Word of God and the authority of the Scriptures that there is something that is whiter than the snow. There is something that has a greater purity than the snow in God's creation. Now, we may ask tonight, now, where is this greater whiteness to be found? Well, it is not found in nature, but rather it is to be found in the kingdom of God's own grace. Indeed, we may well also ask, to whom does this greater whiteness belong? To whom does this greater whiteness concern? Well, it does not concern the angels or some of God's angelic hosts or beings. Rather, it concerns the saints of God on earth. It concerns all those who are saved by the grace of God. All those who are born of the Spirit, redeemed by the blood of Christ, and clothed with the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in our psalm that we've read from tonight, David speaks of this tremendous blessing in verse 7, which is really our text this evening. For in the midst of this psalm, he utters these words. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. In the psalm before us tonight, David, we find him in prayer before the Lord. The occasion of this psalm of David is after the ministry of Nathan the prophet to David. And by the ministry of Nathan, David was confronted with his own sin. My, David was convicted of his own sin, in particular that terrible sin of adultery with Bathsheba, and also that terrible sin of planning the murder of her husband Uriah the Hittite. My, it is under intense conviction of sin regarding these matters that David prays this prayer in our text tonight when he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And with these words, what is he doing? What is he saying? My, he is asking the Lord to cleanse his heart and to deliver him from his sin and from his iniquity. My, the outcome of this divine cleansing and deliverance will be that his heart black with sin will be made whiter than the snow. And dear friends, tonight, this is the good news of the gospel. My, this indeed is the hope of every Christian, of every child of God, that through God's so great salvation, sinful black hearts are made whiter than the snow and are made acceptable with God in the sight of Almighty God. And tonight I want us just to look at these words. Wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow. There are three thoughts I want to leave with you simply regarding these words. And my prayer is tonight that even as David uttered those words and many years ago as the burden of his own heart and as the burden of his own soul, my prayer is tonight that these same words will be the burden upon some heart, some man, some woman, some young person in this meeting, that you too might cry out with David, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow." Notice first of all here how these words remind us of David's problem. What was David's problem? My, the problem that is highlighted here by this prayer is the awful problem of his sin. My, it was an awareness of his own sin that led David to utter these words, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." As we've mentioned in our introduction already, the particular sin that confronted him at this particular time was the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. He had unlawfully taken another man's wife unto himself. He had broken the seventh commandment, which says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And on top of that, there was the sin of murder pressing down upon his heart and upon his soul. For he had planned the death of Bathsheba's husband Uriah in the battlefield. Indeed, the Bible makes it very clear that the man who plans murder is as guilty as the man who carries it out. He had broken the sixth commandment, which says, "Thou shalt not kill." And people, you can read of these two sins in particular in David's life when you go home tonight in 2 Samuel in the chapter 11. And in that chapter you read of how David committed these terrible sins before the Lord. And as he committed them, he thought he could hide them from man. He thought that he could hide them from God Almighty. But you know, David was wrong. That 11th chapter of 2 Samuel ends with these words, "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." My sin had provoked the wrath of God. David's sin displeased the Lord as all sin displeases the Lord. My, it had provoked God's righteous indignation and wrath against him. And my, God came and he dealt with David. And God exposed his sin through the prophet Nathan. Nathan came and he preached to David. And we read in 2 Samuel 12, verse 7, and Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." That was the sermon. That was the message that was preached by God's servant. My, Nathan was fit to say, "David, thou art the man who has sinned. David, thou art the man who has committed adultery. David, thou art the man who has planned the shedding of the blood of Uriah, the Hittite." My, in exposing David and his sin, God brought him under deep conviction. My, the burden pressed heavy upon his soul. And hence in this psalm, he acknowledges this sin before the Lord. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 4 of the psalm. Look at what he says. He says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." And my, with that acknowledgement in his heart and in his soul before the Lord, he utters the prayer of our text tonight. When he says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." All these words, they highlight to us an awful problem. The problem of sin. In the life of David. Dear friend, just as this prayer here highlighted the awful problem of sin in the life of David of old, so these same words also highlight that same awful problem that confronts your life and indeed confronts my life also. Now we're living in an age and we're told by medical statistics that there is an awful increase in cancer in society, and that seems to be true. You hear more and more of people having to deal with that awful disease. Indeed, medical statistics would tell us that one out of every three people would have cancer And my, those people, they need our prayers. They need our support. They need our encouragement. They need our help. They need our ministry in whatever way we can. And yes, friends, as cancer is a terrible disease that is going across our society. But as terrible as it may be, I want to say tonight that the disease of sin is far worse. The disease of sin is far more terrible. Why? Because it is far more widespread. Because the disease of sin, it affects the hearts of all. Indeed, the Bible says, "For there is none righteous, no, not one." Indeed, the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. My sin, you know, is the great leveler of all mankind. Sin is the great common denominator of all mankind wherever he is to be found. It affects those who live in the palace. It affects those who live in the cottage. It affects those who may be extremely well educated in society. And it also affects those with little or no education. My husband rightly said, one out of one sins. It's a great leveler. It's a great common denominator. The hymn writer talks in one of the hymns that we often love to sing in our hymn book, and it talks about God loving, and it says, a world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. And that is how it is with every one of us by nature. By the fall of Adam, the fall of Eve from their first estate in the Garden of Eden, you and I have been born into this world with a sinful heart and with a sinful nature. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man a sin entered into the world. Yes, we must say in agreement with David in verse 5 of the Psalm, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. We were born, each and every one of us in this meeting, into this world, sinners by nature, sinners by practice. And friends, tonight realize this, that sin is an awful thing. People today think lightly of sin. The society in which we live thinks as if it is nothing, but sin is a terrible thing, and how we need to remember what sin is. If we want to really find out what sin is, we need to go to the Word of God. We need to see what the Word of God has to say about sin. And why we're told in the Epistle of John that sin is the transgression of the law. It's the breaking of God's holy law. God has given to us the Ten Commandments for our good, but every one of us are guilty of breaking the law of God. We have transgressed the law of God. Sin is the coming short of the glory of God. God, who is infinitely holy, man, because of his sin by nature and practice, comes short, far short of the glory of God. My sin defiles our whole being before God. When Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth, he spoke to them, and he spoke to them about the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. And my sin that defiles the flesh and the spirit of man. My sin goes so far as to degrade man until he lives like the beast and acts like the beast of the field. You turn in your Bible over to 2 Peter chapter 2. And here we are reminded of this very fact at the end of that chapter. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 22. And here Peter is telling us of sin taking so much control in a man's life that he ends up living and acting like the beasts of the field. Look at verse 22 of 2 Peter 2. He says, but it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. There he speaks of the effect of sin in the lives of people, causing them to live like the dog that returns to the vomit, or the sow that wallows in its own mire. Oh, sin is an awful thing. My sin, it causes man to cast off any allegiance whatsoever to God. And it causes man to make a God out of himself before God. Listen to what David says of such in Psalm 12 and the verse number 4, speaking of the ungodly, those who live for self and for sin. He says of them who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Why, when sin comes in and takes control of a life, that life pronounces self to be the God of their heart. My God is dethroned. God is set to the side. And ultimately, all our sin, men and women, is against God. And if our sin is not dealt with, if it is not forgiven, if we are not saved from our sin, then we face the wrath of God and a lost sinner's hell. The wrath of God awaits the sinner. The man, the woman, the young person who dies in their sin, who is not saved from their sin, whose sins are not forgiven, will go out into a lost eternity in hell itself. What an awful harvest. What an awful problem sin is. Dear friend, if you're not saved tonight in this meeting, and you die in your sins, you die without being saved, you die without your sins forgiven, my, as the Bible says, thou shalt be thrust down to hell. As Christ spoke those words to Capernaum, you will hear that same sentence in your heart and in your soul. Now, don't think tonight, because maybe you've been born a Protestant or go to a Free Presbyterian church, that somehow, some way, that will save you from your sin. You're sitting in the meeting tonight unsaved. Your sins have never been forgiven. Realize this, you're under the sentence of God's holy wrath. Turning your Bible over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Here we have verse 18. And here's the whole reason why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Why he had a burden to preach and to proclaim the gospel. Why? Look at what he says in verse 18 of Romans 1. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth on unrighteousness. Notice those words, the wrath of God is against all ungodliness, wherever it is to be found, and whatever life it is to be found. Friend, in the meeting tonight, if you're still not saved, oh, that you would see this tonight in your heart before God, that the wrath of God is abiding upon you. Yes, in this text we're reminded of David's awful problem. The problem of a sin. Oh, if you're in the meeting tonight unsaved, I trust that these same words will remind you of that awful problem in your heart and your life that will reap an awful harvest, yea, an eternal harvest of eternal woe. The problem of your own sin, of your own iniquity, of your own transgression. Yes, we see David's problem, but notice something else just from this text tonight. Notice in the second place how we see David's desire. Notice his desire. And in verse 7, he prays, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. By in uttering these words and uttering this prayer, we can say that David here desired something. What did he desire? He desired to be cleansed from his sins. He desired to be delivered from his own iniquity and his own transgression. Why, this was the yearning of his heart. There was that yearning in his soul for purity. There was that yearning to be cleansed and to be delivered from his sins. Those words there that he uses at the beginning of verse 7, purge me, they really contain the idea that he wanted his sin to be removed or to be taken away so that he could be free from it. Again, that little phrase further on down, verse 7, where he says, wash me, that contains the thought there that David wanted the very defilement of his sin, the stain of his sin, to be washed and blotted away. Why, there was an overwhelming longing in his heart to know his sin cleansed away. There was a burden, a yearning in his soul to be set free from the snare and the power of sin in his life. You know, you can say that this was really no superficial desire. This was no whim of the moment, as we might say. Rather, the longing here was a deep-seated longing, a deep-seated desire, deep down in his own heart and in his own soul. For notice what he says in verse 10 of the same psalm. He says there, create in me a clean heart, O God, that affected his heart. David was the king upon the throne of Israel. There's many things that David could have desired as a king. Many things he could have asked for of his own people. But you know, here's a man and he's so sick with his own sin. Here's a man and he's so tired with his own sin that the supreme choice and burden of his soul was to be set free from the fetters of sin that bound his life. Here's a man that's as if he has enough of his sin, such as the burden upon his heart. Indeed, his desire really is like the hymn writer, Charles Wesley, said, "Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free." My desire indeed is like the Apostle Paul as he writes in Romans 7 verse 24 when he says there, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death, and who shall set me free?" Oh, he wanted to be delivered from the awful pull of sin, that old nature within this world. And my, that is how it was here with David. This was the desire, the burden of his heart. Oh, friend, let me ask you tonight, what is the chief desire of your heart tonight as you sit in this gospel meeting? What is the burden of your soul? Are you here tonight like David of old? And is your chief concern tonight, is the chief yearning of your heart tonight to be saved from your sin? Is that how it is with you, young man, young woman? Is it to be cleansed from your sin? Is it to be delivered from your sin? To have your sins forgiven? Is that the burden of your soul? Let me say this, that if you are to be right with God, and friend, that's the most important relationship in life, to be right with God. If you are to be reconciled with God, indeed, if you're to be accepted with God, accepted before a holy God, indeed, if you are to have hope for not only time, but hope for eternity, if you are to be sure of heaven, indeed, if you're to enjoy God's so great salvation, then this desire is a must. Your life, this same desire of David to be saved and to be cleansed from a sin. You know, whenever a person is ill and they know they're ill, my, their chief wish is to be healed and to be delivered some way from that illness that maybe inflicts their body or their physical frame. And in like fashion, my, if you are to receive God's so great salvation, know the free gift of everlasting life within your heart and soul. Why, there must be this longing in your heart to be saved from the awful ruin, the awful penalty, and the awful plight of your sin. You study the life of every Christian, of everyone who is truly saved by the grace of God. And over the years, maybe you've heard the testimonies of different Christians, different people saved from different places, different walks of life, from different backgrounds in life. And my, as you hear their testimony, as you watch their life, as you get to know them, you'll see one thing that they all have in common, that there has been this desire, this burden, this longing in their heart and soul to be delivered, to be saved from their sin and the defilement of their sin. I think of old Isaiah the prophet. As he is before the Lord and in the presence of the Lord, he cries out, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." So does it not express a desire in his heart to be delivered from sin? Let me say tonight, dear friend, there's no such a thing as a man being a Christian and delighting to continue on in the pathway of outward sin and outward rebellion against the Lord. Why, that kind of salvation may be man's salvation, but it is not God's salvation. Remember what the Bible says of Christ in Matthew chapter 1 and the verse number 21. It says there, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Oh, Jesus Christ has come to save from our sins. My friend, he has come that you might be saved from your sins. Oh, that tonight you would have that same desire in your heart, as David expressed in this text when he says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. Oh yes, we see his problem, the problem of sin. We see his desire to have that sin cleansed away. But notice finally tonight in this little text of Scripture, notice David's trust. Notice again what he says here in our text. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And here you see that David's trust in this verse is portrayed, and his trust is revealed. Yes, it is told out to us, and his trust is this, that as he utters these words, he is confiding in the Lord. He is trusting in the Lord to purge him and to cleanse away his sins and to cleanse away his iniquity. His trust is in the Lord, and it is in none other but the Lord. All through this psalm you have David, and he's in prayer before the Lord. He is talking to the Lord in the psalm. Look at him as he begins in verse 1. He says, have mercy upon me, O God. Go down to verse 10. He says there, create in me a clean heart, O God. Look at verse 14. He says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Look at verse 15. He says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. He is before the Lord. He is talking directly to the Lord. And when we come to verse 7, what is he still doing? He's speaking to the Lord. There is dealings in his heart with the Lord. And as he is before the Lord and before another, he cries out, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And surely when we think of this great fact that here David is before the Lord, and he's before no one else, is this not one of the greatest testimonies in all of the Bible, in all of the Scriptures? A faith in Christ alone for salvation and for cleansing from sin. Oh yes, David's trust was in the Lord to deal with this awful problem of sin and iniquity in his heart and in his life and in his soul. My, as David talks here in this verse, he speaks of the hyssop. And my, as he thinks no doubt of the hyssop, he is thinking in particular of two very important events in the history of Israel. My, the first of those events, my, it concerned Israel's redemption out of Egypt. How it was delivered out of bondage through the blood of the Lamb without blemish, without spot. And that blood was sprinkled upon the doorposts and the lintels of the home by hyssop. Turning your Bible just back to Exodus chapter 12, you'll read of that. Way back just to the early part of the Bible, Exodus chapter 12. Look at verse number 22. It says here, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. The blood was shed. It was then sprinkled with a hyssop upon the doorposts and the lintels. Look at verse 13. Notice what God promised. It says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And there you see how the sprinkling of this blood was involved in the redemption of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. No doubt when David uttered this prayer and said in our text, purge me with hyssop, he had in mind Israel's redemption out of the bondage of Egypt. But you know, there was another important event as well that no doubt he would have had in mind as a Jew, as an Israelite. And that second event, it concerned the cleansing of the leper under the ceremonial law of the Jewish people. You can read of that for yourself in Leviticus 14. On that occasion, the blood of a little bird was shed, and it was sprinkled on the leper who was declared to be cleansed. Again, hyssop was used. Yes, in the Old Testament, these sprinklings of the blood with hyssop, what were they? What are they teaching us? My, they were all types, they were all pictures that pointed to that great once for all sacrifice for sin by the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. when the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for the sins of all who will trust Him as their Savior. You turn in your Bible just over to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9. Look at what the writer to the Hebrews says about this very matter, Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse number 12. Notice what the writer to the Hebrews says here. He says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." How are we redeemed from our sin? By the blood of Christ. Look at verse 14 of the same chapter. He says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" How are our consciences purged from dead works to serve the living God? By the blood of Christ, by the blood of the Lamb. Go down to the very end of the same chapter, to Hebrews chapter 9, and to the verse number 26, notice again what is said of Christ. "But now once in the end of the world have He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." How is the guilt of our sin put away before Almighty God? It is by the sacrifice of God's dear Son, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a sacrifice that is efficacious forever. For the saints of God in the Old Testament, for the saints of God in the New Testament. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse number 12. Speaking of Christ, it says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." And my, as David uttered this prayer of our text tonight, and he said, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." He was looking forward in faith to the sacrifice of the cross, to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maya's faith, his trust, was in none other than in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the blood of Christ alone to deal with his sin, to put away his sin before Almighty God. My, David's trust for salvation was in nothing less than in Christ and in Christ alone. His trust wasn't in his tears. His trust wasn't in his own prayers, no matter how fervent those prayers may have been. His trust wasn't in his own penitence. It wasn't even in his own faith or in his own endeavors. No, it was only in Christ and in Christ alone and in Christ's great sacrifice upon the cross. That's what he was trusting in, for his sins to be dealt with and to be put away. Oh, his trust was in Christ and in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, dear friend, just as David trusted in the Lord and in his sacrifice at Calvary to save him from his sins, to give him acceptance with God, to deal with his sin, to put his sin away, my friend, you must do the same. If your sin is to be dealt with and your sin has to be put away, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My, the Lord Himself, as He speaks to your heart in this meeting, He invites you, He exhorts you to come to Him and to trust Him and to know your sins cleansed away. Think of those tremendous words of invitation in Isaiah 1 and the verse 18. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Oh, the Lord, as He speaks to your heart in this meeting, unsafe friend, He says, "Come now. Come now unto Christ. Come now and trust Him. Trust in His finished work. Trust in His blood shed alone at Calvary's cross to wash away your sins, to make you fit for heaven, to give you acceptance with God, to deal with the awful ruin and defilement of your sin." And praise God if you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. My, as it says in our text tonight, He'll wash your sins away. Yeah, He will wash your soul, as it says, whiter than the snow. Why is it whiter than the snow? My, the whiteness of the snow is beautiful. But the whiteness of the snow is not eternal. It comes and it goes. But my, the soul that trusts in Christ, the soul that embraces Christ, that knows their sins dealt with, that put away by the blood of Christ, my, they have entered into a salvation that is not only for time, but is for all of eternity. An eternal salvation. And my friend, in coming unto Christ, He'll pardon your sins, not just for time, but for all of eternity. Give you grace to live the Christian life. One day He'll bring you into heaven. He will bring you into glory. Who are those who are in heaven? Those whose sins are washed away in the blood of Christ. Those whose souls are whiter than the snow. Turning your Bible over to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. You look there just at the verse number 9. The Apostle John is speaking to us of the great multitude in heaven's glory. He says in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 7, "After this I beheld, and though a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb." The Lamb is Christ there, clothed with white robes and with palms in their hands. What is the mark of that great multitude? Go on over to verse 13 and verse 14 of the same chapter. Notice what it says. "One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they?" How did they come here? Verse 14, "And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which come out of the great tribulation, and have washed the robes," and notice what the Word of God says, "and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The same blood that David is thinking of. The same blood that David trusted in for the cleansing away of his sins. Friend, if you are to be sure of heaven, if you are to have hope for eternity, you too must come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in nothing else. Trust in no other. Trust in the sacrifice of the cross. Yea, cry out with the hymn writer in your heart and in your soul tonight, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow." Oh, that you'd be washed tonight in the blood of Christ, and you'll be made clean. Have your sins put away forever. Oh, don't go out of the meeting without Christ. Don't go out of the meeting without rejecting Him as your Savior. You tonight who are here burdened about your sin, concerned about your soul, concerned for eternity, come and embrace and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. May the prayer of your heart be as it was with David in the Psalm, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow." Just going to bring our meeting to a close in prayer. We would just say, if there's one tonight, you're concerned about your need, about your soul, about your sin, call upon the Lord. Seek the Lord. Trust in Christ tonight. Christ is all you need. I can be of any help to you after the meeting. We're your servants for Christ's sake. We'd be glad to take time with you, show you from the Word of God how you can be saved, sure of heaven, know your sins cleansed away by the precious shed blood of Calvary. Heavenly Father, we commit the issues, Lord, of this meeting into Thy hands. And Lord, we thank Thee for the Word of the Gospel. We thank Thee, Lord, for the blood of Christ tonight, that the blood of Christ is the remedy for all of our sins. We thank the Lord for each one in this meeting that has been to that fountain. You can say with the hymn writer, "I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me." But Lord, for men and women and boys and girls still not saved, oh, we pray that even tonight, that they might turn away from self, turn away from sin, turn away from every false refuge of man, and come and put their faith and trust in Christ alone, for Thy so great salvation. We thank the Lord that You have said in Thy Word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, there may there be that call go up in some heart or some soul tonight. What must I do to be saved? How we thank the Lord that Thy Word declares, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Lord, while the voice of man is silent, speak on tonight. Save, I beseech of Thee, for the glory and the honor of our Savior. We do pray and do ask all these things. Amen and amen.